This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, this is Dan Wolf, which means you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I've got something to tell you all about the best beach in the universe, Wreck Beach. If you go to Wreck Beach, you can swim with seals, for real. Yes, you can't touch them because they're wild and they don't want to be touched, but they will come really close to you and they will interact with you. If you could stand the cold, I mean, it's been hot here, 30 degrees, 90, and the water, if you wait till the tide comes in over the hot sand, it's pretty warm, but it's still the Pacific Ocean in Canada. So you have to be prepared to be a swimmer because the seals, well, they got lots of fat. They'll hang out there all day. And it's really, really tempting to swim with the seals at Wreck Beach in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So I wanted to let you know about that. If you're coming here, make sure you check out Wreck Beach. It is a clothing optional beach. It is also a beach that is set apart from the city by the university and an enormous forest. So you have to be able to hike up a trail that is maybe 900 steps or so and quite steep. It's not for everybody. But if you're a hiker, biker, adventurer kind of person, then it is so worth it. You hike down to this beach and it is a world within. It's cut off from everything. So there's people there dressed. There's people there not dressed. There's hula hoop girls and tarot card readers, massagers, and every kind of food you could want, every kind of vice you could have, and everybody getting along. There's always music. There's always animals, like what I was saying, the seals in the water, but you also see a lot of bird life. It's a beautiful place to go. And the trees, the trail down, the giant ferns and huge pines and cedars and enormous, enormous trees. The kind you'd think would be, you know, with a plaque beside them. They're so big and they're one after another after another. Absolutely spectacular place to go. So, all right, what did I see there? I saw seagulls, of course, and a great blue heron, a bunch of seals. And I also saw one osprey, just one. When I was over at Hatsik Lake, I saw way more ospreys, loads of them. So I guess they're not territorial over there, which surprised me, but they're not. There's a lot of rivers and lakes, though, so they could be flying and, well, they could even be offspring of ospreys. And maybe that's why they were getting along in close quarters. I don't know. But there's some fascinating facts about the osprey, and I want to share them with you because it's really a good news story. They were almost extinct, and now they've come back in great numbers. And if you're out boating anywhere, like in Florida or all kinds of places, you'll see these things that have been built just for them in the middle of the water. Estuaries and in the Gulf of Mexico, I've seen them. These stands that are basically birdhouse stands where the ospreys can build their nests on top. And they do. In fact, they come back year after year. Sometimes the nest will be 10 feet tall. Because they just keep building on the same site. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back and talk a little bit about the osprey. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party with Pet Life Radio. So 99% of the diet of the osprey is 80 fish species. And that's partly why they were having so much trouble. because they really do rely just on those 80. So if they disappear, the Osprey disappears too. Now, fortunately, they're doing okay. They're doing okay. And except for the Falcon, the Osprey is the bird that you will see most places in the world, the bird of prey. Falcon is the other one. Falcon is even more places than the Osprey, but they both cover the world. They're every place in the world. Their nostrils close when they dive, and they have an extra toe on the back of their foot to grab the fish. So they've been around 11 million years, apparently. It's pretty amazing stuff. They have 8 vocalizations, 11 displays. That's kind of like dances, sort of. And they have an aerial dance. Well, of course, because, you know, you don't want to just dance on the ground. You got to dance in the air. They're monogamous. And they have an elaborate courtship of food delivery. Okay, so this is what I want to talk to you about. I love this. I used to watch this pretty much every winter at my mother's place on Captiva Island near Fort Myers, Florida, where she used to live. And we would sit at the roof and watch because there was an osprey nest in a tree nearby. And there was a porch on the roof. And we would sit up there with lawn chairs and watch this very entertaining courtship. Because what would happen is the female would sit in the nest and then the male would go fishing and he would come back and he would bring her fish. And this is very noisy endeavor. Okay. Like she's screaming and he's squealing and they're talking. And I mean, you can't, they would wake us up for this demonstration. So, okay. The ospreys are at it again. Squeal, squeal, shriek, shriek, squeal, squeal, right? Go up and there's all the feathers and everything. She's in this big nest. And she's about eye level with us because we're on the roof of this house that's on stilts, right? So we can really see what's going on. And he, well, maybe she's a little taller on this post, maybe. But it's good viewing. Anyway, so he would bring a fish and bring it to her and drop it right in the nest. And then she would look at the fish and look at him. And I swear you could see her give him a dirty look. I swear. And then she would pick up the fish and toss it out of the nest. Like, that's not good enough, Buster. And not even eat it, not even accept it, just toss it. And he'd have to go get another one. And this would go on for a while. And we used to think, like, because sometimes he'd bring a really big fish and she'd toss it out anyway. It's like, what fish is big enough? And then I realized she's actually just trying to make sure he's a good fisherman. It's not so much how big the fish is, it's a quantity. Can he bring enough to feed a family? And I say, well done, female Osprey. Good judging. Well done. Good testing. She's not going by, you know, how big his muscles are, how long his beak is, none of that stuff. She's like, you know what? Can you provide for the babies? Right. I'll marry you. We can mate for life and we will share this nest and we will disturb these people for the rest of the time they live in these houses. So that's how it goes with the Osprey. I find animal courtship so fascinating. And every species has a little bit of a different take on how the female usually makes sure the male is a good candidate. Even if he's not going to be providing, he is providing the genes. So she does not want to mate with a weakling or a sick or disturbed or emotionally not balanced mate. They want a healthy, sound mate. And most species have a way of testing that. Dogs do it with a play fight kind of ritual, or she'll get a bunch of boys to fight over and pick the winner. That's an easy way. It's not good for the boys. It's not good for the owners, but it's an easy way for the female to pick the winner. She also tests his patience and good nature, because she will often be very rough with him and he has to not be rough back. He has to be tough enough, but not lose it. Not violent, not too aggressive, or she'll refuse him on those grounds too. So it's quite interesting how animals test their partners. It seems a little bit better than Match.com. Just saying. All right, well, we'll be back from break in a minute and I'll talk more on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, with me, Deb Wolf. And I got a couple things I want to clear up. I recently did a video and talked a lot about a dog who had a stroke, Penny. And I'm going to be talking with Dr. Jory the next time he's on the air about this, because there's something called canine idiopathic vestibular disease. And it's something that happens to old dogs, and it mimics the symptoms of strokes, and it goes away. And it is very possible that that's what Penny had instead of a stroke. Very difficult to tell. So I will be talking to Dr. Jory on a future episode about that and trying to get the information. But any which way, if your dog is exhibiting these signs, you should get to a vet, because you want to know and you want to treat it and you want to get the best care you can. All right. So there was a cougar in Whistler. Yeah, a cougar. And 10 to 15 minutes, he was stalking a person. Then he attacked the back tire of that person's vehicle. Not a bike, but an actual vehicle. So that Alpine neighborhood was closed for 7 days, all the trails. And I got to ask, like, how do you know 7 days is enough? Is 7 days enough? By closing the trail, do you just tell the cougar that's its turf and then it encroaches further? I mean, if you keep people out of the area the cougar is claiming, is it then just, I mean, it doesn't sound, to me, it sounds like it's a job for dogs. If a cougar is encroaching on areas you don't want cougars that are close to town, why wouldn't you hire someone with trained dogs to move the cougar out as opposed to closing down the trail and making the cougar feel right at home? So that's what I want to put to the Whistler residents. Maybe there's a better way to go with cougar prevention. Maybe we could move that cougar along with a few well-trained dogs and a handler. I also want to talk about cats. I've been doing a few videos on YouTube about cats, how to approach a cat you don't know, how to get friendly with one, maybe an old grumpy cat that you don't know, how to teach a cat to sit, how to teach a cat to shake paw, how to teach a cat to come to its name. And I always get people arguing with me that cats can't be trained. So if that's your position, you should be sending me your voice clip to deb@petliferadio.com. What's your story with your cat? Why do you think your cat can't be trained? Why won't your cat come when called? Why won't your cat sit when told? Why won't your cat jump up to any place you tap? Why not? Why is that not possible? Explain this to me, because I believe it's possible. Now, if you tell me you're free feeding your cat, well, there's the answer. It does not have to do anything. It thinks food just grows on trees in this world. So there's no connection to you. You have to give the food to the animal and give it attention and love when you do so. And that's how you establish the bond with the cat. It's pretty easy, really simple, literally works every time. People, give it a shot. All right. Now, dogs are a little bit easier to figure out, but in both cases, dogs and cats can really outsmart us in a way. And I don't even think they mean to. They act naughty. They do something we don't like. And it gets them so much attention. This is usually dogs, but it could be cats too. Cats do this with knocking things off or jumping on things they shouldn't, like computers, laptops, knocking glasses off. Cats love gravity. They love to go bang and watch everybody run and clean up the mess. Love it. So if you have a cat that's doing these things, or you have a dog who's maybe jumping up on the couch, even though when you say off, he jumps right down. So why does he jump up all the time? Why doesn't he just stay down? That's because he doesn't know he can get attention. In your house, he can't get attention unless he does the bad thing first. Your cat wants attention if it's knocking stuff off. If it's jumping on the stuff you need to do in your office, the work that's right in front of you that you're trying to work on, It wants your attention. If it's sitting on your laptop, it's trying to get your attention. If your cat takes something important to you, like your lighter, and yes, they do that. Smokers, you know it's true. If you're a cigarette smoker, you know your cat takes your lighter. Do you think your cat takes your lighter just because it spins nicely on the floor? No, that is not the only reason. They're taking your lighter because they know you will search for it. They will have your attention for a while. Sometimes dogs misbehave, like they jump up and then they look at you. You're going to sit down? You're going to sit down? Oh, okay, I'll jump down. Now I'm a good boy. That means they think the command for off or down is you jump up and then you jump down. They got it wrong. They learned it wrong. They think they have to do the first part to get the second part. So that's so easy. You just praise your dog and use the word off or lay down or down, whatever word you've been using, when he's already down. So he comes over to you and he's on the ground and you say, oh, such a good boy. You're down. Good boy. As you're on the couch, right? So he doesn't have to jump up on the couch. So you can then say down to say good boy. He's down already. You say, good boy. You're down. Good boy. Now he knows you don't want him up there. It's been clear. You've rewarded him for the thing he's doing. The dog only wants the reward. He doesn't really care how he gets it. The cat only wants the attention. She doesn't really care how she gets it. I've had an amazing summer. It's been 80 to 90 degrees most days, 25 to 30. For those of you in Canada who are younger and don't know Fahrenheit, those of you who are older, you get Fahrenheit. You know what I'm talking about already. So yes, we've had a beautiful, sunny, hot summer. Only one day of rain in probably 6 weeks, and then it's raining now. And I don't really like the rain, even though I live in the rainforest. I'm a sun girl. I love, love, love the sun. So usually I'm upset when it rains, but today I was so happy to see the rain. Yes, so happy because there are forest fires all over the place. There's so many in BC. I don't think we've ever had a season like this. And there's been a lot of smoke in the air, which makes me cough, especially when I do radio shows. It's hard to work when you sing and talk and there's smoke everywhere. But I hope the rains help them get a handle on it. And I just wanted to give a shout out. After Labor Day weekend, I will have quite a lot of space at Camp Good Dog. And if anybody out there is being displaced by the fires and needs long-term boarding, I'm happy to do discounted rates or look into helping you out in some way. If you've been displaced by the fire and you need a place for your dog, please let us know at Camp Good Dog. So I really want to help you out in some way, and I can probably connect you to other people or figure out something. So let me know. There's a lot of animals being displaced by these fires, a lot of trees burning. And one thing that's come up lately that I didn't know about before is that when they clear cut and they replant, you know, it makes you feel good. You see the signs and it says for every tree cut, three are planted. Oh, well, that sounds good. Good math. 1, 3. Awesome. Future will be great. Except they're oftentimes logging trees and eliminating trees that are pretty fire resistant. And then they're spreading pesticide everywhere that they don't plant the new trees they want, which are not fire resistant. And so instead of the forest having loads of trees that are fire resistant, it's a new forest that's ready to go up in flames. And that's a big problem for me. The pesticides are a problem because you're eliminating what nature would do to try and compensate for your massive 3-to-1 change in species that you're decided to do willy-nilly, not thinking about the future and the fires. I mean, maybe we should be going right back. You know, if you took this kind of tree out, you have to plant that kind of tree. That's it. And no pesticides. And 3-to-1. Absolutely. Keep it like that. Because you're logging enormous trees. So I think we got to get on that. We got to be smarter about how we lobby and how we think about this. Because the forests that are fire resistant are disappearing and being replaced by enormous forests that are just like matchsticks. And that does not make sense for our future. It doesn't make sense for all the animals that live there and all the people and the pets that live there. So we've really got to get a handle on this. Okay, so if you've got a question for me, please send it to deb@petliferadio.com. And if anybody out there knows anybody on the cast of My Big Fat Fabulous Life, I would love to talk to them on air about Goosey and perhaps Waldo. Because, I'm sure they've got questions. I've been watching And that Goosey, she's a salad stealer. She's a standard poodle who was visiting seniors' homes and stealing salads. Not good. But she is also extremely trainable. I can see from the footage where Waldo's being trained that Goosey wants to be trained. Goosey's a good girl. But Waldo will be too. So hopefully someone will connect me up with them. And if anybody's got a connection to Keanu Reeves, I've seen his Facebook posts. He seems to love pets. And I would love to interview him on my show. Whatever he wants to talk about, he can talk about that. Absolutely. So please send your contacts to me at deb@petliferadio.com. And I will definitely have him on my show. All right, everybody. Until next time, from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.